بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكر سوء الظن بالله باب ذكر سوء الظن بالله The chapter mentioning the issue of having bad thoughts about Allah سوء الظن بالله The chapter clarifying the dangerous affair and the fact that it's from the major sins having bad thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. In the previous chapter, the author, he discussed the affairs related to having despair and giving up hope in the mercy of Allah and giving up hope in the aid and the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in reality, it is su'u al-dhanni billah, having bad thoughts about Allah. Having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, he would commit a sin that Allah will never forgive if he returned to him. If he returned to him sincerely with repentance, that he would think that Allah would not forgive him, or that his sins are greater than the mercy of Allah, or that Allah would not pardon him if he repented to him. This is from having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, Allah, He forgives all sins. And He commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform the people of this, قُلْ يَا إِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا إِبَادِي, O my slaves, those who have transgressed against their own souls, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Do not give up hope. Do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah, He forgives all sins. And for the one who comes to Allah with repentance, for the one who comes to Allah with a heart that is repentant, with sincerity, and with truthfulness, and with remorse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all sins. For the one who comes to Allah in this manner, with repentance, with tawbah, and seeking forgiveness, and confessing the lordship of Allah, and the command of Allah, and the authority of Allah, and confessing one's weakness, and that he transgressed the limits of Allah, and he knows that Allah, He forgives all sins, no matter how great they may be. Rather, He will even forgive the sins of those who disbelieved in Him, if they repent and they come to Him in Islam, in submission, and surrender, and believing in Him and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to think this is having bad thoughts about Allah. And likewise, to think that Allah, He will not bring relief, and He will not help a person whenever he's in danger or whenever he's in distress, and to give up hope on the aid of Allah and the mercy of Allah coming at the times of hardship and difficulty. This is from having bad thoughts about Allah. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responds to those who are in distress. Rather, Allah azza wa jal, He responds to those who are in distress whenever they call Him. A believer, he should have certainty with regards to these affairs, and he should know that. And he should dedicate himself to Allah in times of hardship with devotion and with servitude and worship, and call on Him sincerely and wait for the relief. And a believer, he will find in this moment, truly, if he's sincere, he will find relief in his faith and in his iman, in his heart and in his chest, even before the physical relief comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. And so to think that Allah, He will not aid the believers, or to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave the enemies of Islam to destroy the believers entirely, or that the deen of Allah would not be victorious in the end, or to think that the kuffar and the disbelievers, they're going to have the final say and the final outcome. This is from having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a major sin. And for this reason, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this chapter in this manner. And he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى And the statement of Allah, the Most High, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرُ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ They think about Allah. They're having the thoughts about Allah that are not true, that are contrary to the truth. And this is the truth of ignorance. And this is the thoughts of ignorance. And this is the thought of ignorance. And this is in reference to whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in battle. And this happened more than one time, that he would go into battle, and those who were weak in faith, those who were weak in faith, they would see the numbers of the believers, and they would see the numbers of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would think that the believers, they will not return. They would think that the believers at this time, they're going to go out in battle and they will not return, and that they are going to be wiped out entirely. And this is what Allah is referring to here. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرُ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They're thinking about Allah that which is not true, the thoughts of ignorance. The thoughts of ignorance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not aid His religion. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not aid His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who believe along with Him. And those who believe along with Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the safir here, a major sin. A major sin. Likewise, after this, Allah, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ. And this is the thought that you thought about your Lord, and it destroyed you. And it destroyed you. And before this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. But rather you think that Allah, He does not know much of what you are doing. And this is with regards to having bad thoughts about the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise His power and His authority and the fact that He knows all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this verse here indicates the dangers of having a misunderstanding and being misguided with regards to the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned here, وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. But rather you thought that Allah, He does not know much of what you are doing. And they didn't think that Allah, He didn't know everything they're doing. They thought that Allah didn't know much of what they're doing. So they know that Allah, He has knowledge, and they believe in that. That Allah, He knows what they're doing. But they thought that there were some things that Allah did not know that they were doing. So they had deficiency in their belief in the attribute of knowledge. And the attribute of knowledge with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He told them, وَذَلِكُمْ وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ وَالَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ 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 يعني أَهْلَكَكُمْ. He said, that is the thought that you thought about your Lord, and it destroyed you. So this is something that is very dangerous, to have foul thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will not aid the believers, and that the outcome will not be for the believers, and that Islam, it will be destroyed. And in the end, the Muslims, they will have the foul outcome. And in the end, this is a foul thought. And likewise, to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is unaware of His creation, or He does not know about the reality or the affairs of some of His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is from having foul and bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, rahimahullah, wa qawlihi ta'ala, adhannina billahi dhannissaw, alayhim da'iratussaw. Those who think about Allah, the foul thoughts, the evil thoughts, and an evil punishment will touch them. For them is an evil and a humiliating punishment. Alayhim da'iratu saw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that this is the case of the polytheists and the pagans, the mushrikun, the male and the females from them, and all of them, and likewise the hypocrites. The male and the females from them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَيُعَذِّبُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الظَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنِّ السَّوْءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. And this is an indication of the great danger of this affair, the great threat that they have been threatened with, and the threat of a great punishment that is not like the threat that has come for any other sins in the Quran. Allah, He mentioned about them, that Allah, He will punish the hypocrites, the male and females from them, and likewise the pagans, the male and females from them. And there are those who have bad thoughts about Allah. Dhannina billahi dhannissaw. Those who have evil and foul thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhim da'iratu saw. And they will have a humiliating punishment. And they will have a humiliating torment and punishment. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah, He mentioned about these people having bad thoughts about Him. Yani, bad thoughts about Him that He will not aid His messenger. Bad thoughts about Him that He will not aid his messenger, and He will not aid the believers. And they claimed whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out for a particular battle, and they stayed behind and they did not go with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُنَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Al-Madinah, and they seen that they returned safely, and they came home from the battle safely in this manner with victory, then they started to make excuses. Those who were hypocrites and those who had bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He would not aid the believers. And they claimed that they had been preoccupied with their wealth and with their children. They said, so seek forgiveness for us. So seek forgiveness for us. This is what they claimed. And but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about them, بَلْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّنْ يَنْقَلِبَ الرَّسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ أَبَدًا وَزُيِّنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَظَنَنْتُمْ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُورًا. But rather you thought that the messenger and the believers, they will never return back home. And they claim that they did not go for the battle because their wealth and their families preoccupied them. So they're asking for forgiveness. But in reality, Allah exposed them, and they're hypocrites. And Allah, He mentioned them, but rather you thought that the messenger and the believers would not return. And they thought that was the end for them, that they're going to go to battle and that the kuffar of Quraysh are going to wipe them out entirely and Islam is going to be finished. This is what they thought. And this is why they refrained from going. And this is what Allah is mentioning about them, that this is the evil, that this is the evil thoughts. From the evil thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla is that He will not aid the believers, and that He will not aid His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Islam, it will not be victorious. And that Islam, it will be wiped out entirely. This is from the foul thoughts. But rather, a believer, he has certainty. Al-aqibah lil-muttaqeen. That the final outcome is for the righteous. And that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla is victorious. That the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla is victorious. And at times, the believers are tried. And like this, even the prophets, all of them, it is known that the prophets, they had battles and they had events with their people, all of them. Sometimes they were on top and sometimes they were defeated. But in the end, the messengers and those who followed them, they're victorious. And Allah, He tests the people in this manner. And Allah, He tests the people in this manner. If the people of truth are always victorious, then there's no test. There's no test, then everyone would see. Or if there's no shubuhat, if there's no doubts that are spread, then everyone will see the truth clearly and they will believe. And there's no test. But the true test and the true iman and the faith that is beneficial, al-imanu bil ghaib. Al-imanu bil ghaib, to believe in the unseen. So there must be trials. There must be affairs that come that will test the believer, that will test him in his faith. That, does he truly believe? Is he sincere in his faith in this manner like this? So in any case, a believer, he will always have good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah would help him, that if he does good deeds, that Allah would accept them from him. And that if he repents from his sins and his bad deeds, that Allah would accept his repentance, and that he will hope for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. A believer, he will always have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will aid the believers, and that He will help the believers, and that those who repent to Him, that He accepts the repentance subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will think good about Allah, and he will never think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this is from those major sins. This is from those major sins, and this is from the way of the disbelievers, and that they will have bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, وَرُوِيَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَرُوِيَ. The people of knowledge, they mentioned ruwiya, the people of the knowledge of hadith. Mustalah hadith, when it comes like this, ruwiya, بِصِغَةِ مَنْ لَمْ يُسَمَّ فَائِلُهُ, then this means this is an indication that the narration is weak. This is an indication that the narration is weak. The people of hadith, they call the sigatu a tamreed. Indication that the narration is weak. Yani from the narration of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, akbar al-kabair, that the greatest of the major sins, su'u dhanni billah. Su'u al-dhanni billah, to have bad thoughts about Allah. Rawahu ibn Marduya. Rawahu ibn Marduya. He mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala. In any case, this narration is not authentic. And in reality, it's ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not to Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. But it's not authentic. But no doubt, having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the major sins. It's from the greatest of the major sins. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that rahimahullahu ta'ala in his book, Ad-Dawa al-Dawa. And likewise in Ighathatul Al-Hafan, that having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the major sins. And in reality, those who commit shirk with Allah and all aspects of their shirk, this comes from having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To associate partners with Allah is having bad thoughts about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, those who deny His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who give up hope in His mercy and the likes, all of this is from having su'u al-dhanni billahi azza wa jal, having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, wa an jabirin radiyallahu anhu annahu qala, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قبل وفاته بثلاث لا يمتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله أخرجاه. He mentioned here the narration of Jabir. Jabir, he says, radiallahu anhu, that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying 3 days before he died. 3 days before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله. That one of you should not die. That one of you should not die except that he has good thoughts about Allah. Except that he has good thoughts about Allah. The author, he says, أخرجاهو. That's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Allah knows best, this is in Sahih Muslim only. In Sahih Muslim only. But this is an indication here that at the time of death, a believer, he will have great hope in his heart for the mercy of Allah. So long as he's alive and he's healthy, then he will balance in his life the hope and the fear. And he will move upon the straight path in this manner with hope and fear. Yani equally, hoping in the mercy of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, and fearing the anger and the punishment of Allah. And he will traverse upon the straight path in this manner. But at times of sickness and at times of death, specifically, at this time there's no time for action. At this time there's no time for action. So at this time he will not be overcome by the fear of Allah and the threat of Allah and the punishment of Allah. But at this time, whenever he's in this helpless state before death, at this time he will give great concern to having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would let that overcome his fear. At this time he's hoping he's hoping for the mercy of Allah, hoping that Allah will pardon him and forgive him, and hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have accepted his life, and in the life that he had put forward until this day, the day that he's dying now, and all of his efforts, that Allah would have accepted that and show mercy to him and forgive him and pardon him at this time. This is how he should die. Whenever death is coming, if a person is aware of that, then this is how he should die, having great hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a great narration. لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله. That not one of you should die except for that he has good thoughts about Allah. Meaning good thoughts that Allah will pardon him and forgive him. That Allah will pardon him and forgive him and overlook his mistakes and his errors. This is a very serious affair. At this time he will put everything on the side and just have trust and reliance upon Allah and hope in Allah. And hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, وَزَادَ إِبْنُ أَبِي دُنْيَا وَزَادَ إِبْنُ أَبِي الدُّنْيَا. And also it has been additional wording by Ibn Abi Dunya, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ قَوْمٍ أَرَدَاهُمْ سُوءُ ظَنِّهِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرَدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That in this extra wording by Ibn Abi Dunya, that verily people, they have their bad thoughts about Allah had destroyed them. أَرْدَاهُمْ يعني أَهْلَكَهُمْ أَهْلَكَهُمْ وَأَسْقَطَهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. يعني that it has destroyed them and cast them into the hellfire. And this is because Allah the Most High, he says, وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ أَلَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And this was the thoughts that you thought about your Lord, and it had destroyed you, and so you have become from amongst those who are in utterly lost, yani those who are losers, those who lost their souls and their families. And this wording here, likewise, it is weak, and it is not authentic to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this verse here, that he referred to here and before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in these verses, وَكُنْتُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ أَنْ يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُكُمْ وَلَا جُلُودُكُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That you are not able to hide from the fact that your hearing and your eyes and your skins will testify against you. And this is the thoughts that you thought about your Lord. This is the thoughts that you thought Allah, he did not know much of what you were doing. And that is the thoughts about your Lord that you thought about him that destroyed you until you became from amongst the losers. It's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that there were a group of the Kufar from Quraysh, and they're discussing to each other in private. And one of them said to the other one, "Does Allah hear what we're saying?" And they're whispering to each other, "Can Allah hear what we're saying? Do you think Allah can hear what we're saying?" And he said, some of them said, "Oh, he can hear everything." And others, they said, "No, he can only hear whenever we raise our voices, but whenever we're quiet, he can't hear us." like this, and this verse was revealed. This verse was revealed. And so they didn't entirely negate the attribute of knowledge, that Allah, he hears and he knows what they're doing. And only part of that. And this is what is mentioned here in this, any misunderstanding in those names and attributes had been a means to destroy them. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ had been a means to destroy them. عَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ So this is an indication of the dangers of having bad thoughts about Allah. Any by denying or misinterpreting His attributes specifically. Also an indication, on the other hand, the importance of showing great concern, of learning the principles and the correct creed and belief with regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to not fall into this affair. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ And likewise, from Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu marfu'ah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قال الله تعالى, Allah, he says, the Most High, yani hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي That I am with the thoughts of my slave as he thinks of me. So however one thinks about Allah, then Allah will be like that with him. Allah will treat him like that. If a person thinks that Allah will forgive him and pardon him, and he strives upon that way, then Allah will forgive him and pardon him. But if a person gave up hope and thinks that Allah will never forgive him, then he will find the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just as he thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, Zada Ahmad ibn Hibban. Also, it has been increased by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban. In dhanna bi khayran falahu. When dhanna bi sharran falahu. If he thinks good about me, then he will have that. And if he thinks bad about me, then he will have that likewise. So this is the affair of having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite is what is obligatory. And that is to have husnu al-dhan. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى To always have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many people, they have misunderstood the issue of having good thoughts. And particularly, they have misunderstood this narration here that the author, he mentioned in the end from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And in Bukhari and Muslim, the complete narration, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah, he says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي That I am with my slave as he thinks about me. And I am with him whenever he mentions me. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي If he thinks about me in himself, if he mentions me in himself, then I will mention him in myself. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُمْ And if he mentions me in a gathering, then I will mention him in a gathering better than that gathering. And here we are, subhanAllah, mentioning Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mentioning Allah Azza wa Jalla in a gathering. And we hope that He mentions us in a better gathering. And meaning amongst the angels. Meaning amongst the angels, those who are near to Him. So this narration is a wonderful narration, an amazing narration. That one, he will think good about Allah. And if he thinks good about Allah, he will have good from Allah. But if he thinks bad about Allah, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ He will have what he thought. Allah will deal with him. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That the recompense and the reward is according to the deed and the action. So the one who thinks good about Allah, he will have good from Allah. But the one who does not think good about Allah, he will not have good from Allah. But the issue of thinking good about Allah, this is something that has been misunderstood. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his book, Al-Da wa Al-Dawa, he mentioned this affair in some great details. And some great benefits to clarify the reality of husn al-dhan. What does it really mean to think good about Allah? Because some people, they have used this narration and the likes of this narration to rely on the mercy of Allah and to rely upon the forgiveness of Allah. And they have fallen in this manner into that other major sin that was in the previous chapter, which was al-amnu min makrillah, to feel safe from the plot and the punishment of Allah. And so this is also a major sin. And this hadith here does not indicate that. Having good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla does not mean that a person, he will blatantly commit sins and he will neglect the commandments of Allah and he have no concern or care or honor or respect for the prohibitions of Allah. And he will blatantly disobey Allah day in and day out. And then he will say, oh Allah, he's the most forgiving and merciful. Oh, I have good thoughts about Allah. This is a misunderstanding. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this is not husnul dhan, but rather this is called al-ghurur. This is called al-ghurur. Husnul dhan, that means to have good thoughts. That means to have good thoughts. Al-ghurur, that means to be deceived, to be tricked, to be deceived, to be deluded, to be tricked and deceived. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ حُسْنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مَعْ الْإِحْسَانِ. He says, and no doubt that having good thoughts, it only comes by doing good. It only comes along with doing good. Somebody can't really truly have good thoughts about Allah except if he's doing good himself, good actions. So this is the point here that he's going to make. The good thoughts are only come about when they're coupled with good actions. Good actions. This is the point he wants to make. He says, فَإِنَّ الْمُحْسِنَ حَسَّنَ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ أَنَّهُ يُجَازِهِ عَلَى إِحْسَانِهِ. Because the one who strives to do good and to be obedient and to worship Allah in the best manner, then he has good thoughts about Allah. He has made his thoughts good about Allah, about his Lord, that he will recompense him for the good that he does. And the one who strives to do good and he's obedient and he fulfills the obligations to the best of his ability, at this time he will have good thoughts about Allah, that Allah will accept that from him. The one who has shortcomings and he recognizes that, or he has fallen into sin and transgression and he realizes that and he repents, then he will have good thoughts about Allah, that Allah will accept his repentance. Because this is what Allah, he said in his book. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in his sunnah. So this is what it means to have good thoughts about Allah. He says that he will have أَنَّهُ يُجَازِهِ عَلَى إِحْسَانِهِ وَلَا يُخْلِفُ وَعْدَهُ وَيَقْبَلُ تَوْبَتُهُ. That he will recompense him for his good deeds, and that he will not go back on his promise. That he will. This is having good thoughts. The promise that of those who do good, they have paradise. And those who obey him, then they have Jannah. And those who strive in his cause, then they will have help and aid from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have his pleasure. So this is what they do. They do good deeds, and then they have thoughts like this, that Allah will help them, that Allah will accept from them, that Allah will aid them, that Allah will pardon them for their sins, that Allah will accept their repentance when they repent. وَمَا الْمُسِيءُ الْمُسِرُّ عَلَى الْكَبَائِرُ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْمُخَالَفَاتِ فَإِنَّ وَحْشَةَ الْمَعَاصِي وَالظُّلْمِ وَإِجْرَامِ تَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ حُسْنِ الظَّنِّ بِرَبِّهِ. As for the one who is doing bad deeds and he's persisting upon major sins and oppression and actions of contradiction or opposition, I mean opposition to the command of Allah and opposition to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily the loneliness that he finds in his heart from the sins and actions of disobedience and from the crimes that he has committed will prohibit him from having good thoughts about his Lord. Sins, they bring about a loneliness in the heart. Yani whenever it's called wahsh, al-wahsha. Al-wahsha is whenever a person, he's around people and he feel like they don't like him. Sometimes he'll be around certain people and he'll have a feeling from those people in these circumstances that people don't like him and they don't want him around. So he'll have that feeling in his heart. He'll have that feeling like he's rejected or he's not accepted or the people don't like him. This is the type of wahsha that will happen into the heart. The opposite of that is called al-uns. When a person, he will find comfort in the company of others and he will be comfortable around them and he will feel accepted from them and he will be calm and happy around them. Yani, so the one who sins and he's sincere, he will find wahsha. He will find in his heart this loneliness and he will find this feeling in his heart where he's not accepted. And he will have problems and he'll have worries in his mind and the likes like this, and this will prohibit him from having good thoughts about his Lord. He said, وَهَذَا مَوْجُودٌ فِي الشَّاهِدِ. And this is something that is witnessed, and in reality. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْآبِقَ الْمُسِيءَ الْخَارِجَ عَنْ طَاعَةِ سَيِّدِهِ لَا يُحْسِنُ ظَنَّهُ بِهِ. He said, and this is something that is witnessed and you can see in reality. And he strikes an example. And he says, because verily a slave, like if somebody, he really had a slave, a man, he had a slave. And that slave, he was doing bad. He was being disobedient to his master. And then he ran and he fled. He snuck away and he fled from slavery. And he ran and he is on the run. Maybe he did some crimes to his master or the family of the master. And then he broke away from the chains of slavery. And he's running from his master. He said at this time, there's no way he could think good about his master if his master catches him, that he's going to pardon him and forgive him. This slave here, he would not think that. He would not think that if he committed crimes in the family of his master, and the likes like this, and then he broke away from the chains of slavery. If his master finds him, he does not think that his master is going to be kind to him and pardon him and forgive him and bring him back close to him and the likes like this. Rather, he's going to punish him and take him to account. So this is the case for the slave. And if we're a person, we're slaves to Allah. And we're under servitude to Allah. Taw'an wa karha. And so the one who is successful, he's the one who submits to that. He submits to that willfully. Willfully. And this is the highest level in rank. This is the highest level in rank, to be a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. Afala akuna abdan shakura. Should I not be a thankful slave? This is what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said. He says, Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَلَا يُجَامِعُ وَحْشَةَ الْإِحْسَاءَةُ إِحْسَانُ الظَّنِّ أَبَدًا. So it's not possible for the feelings that one has whenever he commits bad crimes or bad deeds to be gathered with having good thoughts ever. He can never do bad. He can never do bad, and the feelings that come along with doing bad, they can never be gathered together at one time having good thoughts likewise. Good thoughts likewise. He's going to harm people. He's going to do crimes against them, and then he's expecting in return that they're going to be nice to him or they're going to be kind to him. And the likes like this, this is not possible. فَإِنَّ الْمُسِيئَ مُسْتَوْحِيشٌ بِقَدْرِ إِسَاءَتِهِ. Because the one who does bad, he finds this rejection and this fear in his heart and this loneliness according to the amount of his crime. وَأَحْسَنُ النَّاسِ ظَنًّا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَطْوَاؤُهُمْ لَهُ. And the one who has the best thoughts about his Lord is the one who is most obedient to him. The one who truly has the best thoughts about his Lord is the one who is most obedient to him. كَمَا قَالَ الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِ. Just like الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِ, he said, رَحِيمُهُ إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ أَحْسَنَ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ فَأَحْسَنَ الْأَمَلِ. That verily the believer, he had made good thoughts about his Lord, so therefore he has done good deeds. He has good thoughts about his Lord, and so therefore he has done good deeds. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ أَسَاءَ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ فَأَسَاءَ الْعَمَلِ. And verily the wicked and evil person, then he has thought bad thoughts about his Lord, so therefore he has committed bad deeds. So the point is coming here that the good thoughts with Allah come coupled only whenever there's good actions. Good thoughts, they produce good actions. And when there's good actions, there's good thoughts about Allah. As for whenever there's bad actions, then there's no good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. This would only be considered ghurur and deception. He says, Rahimahullah, وَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ مُحْسِنَ ظَنَّ بِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ شَارِدٌ عَنْهُ. How could he ever have good thoughts about his Lord and he's fleeing from him in disobedience? حَالٌ مُرْتَحِلٌ فِي مَسَاقِطِهِ وَمَا يُغْضِبُهُ مُتَعَرِّضٌ لِلَعْنَتِهِ قَدْ هَانَ حَقُّهُ وَأَمْرُهُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَضَاعَهُ وَهَانَ نَهْيُهُ عَلَيْهِ فَارْتَكَبَهُ وَأَصَرَّ عَلَيْهِ وَأَصَرَّ عَلَيْهِ. How could he ever be having good thoughts about his Lord whenever he is fleeing from him in disobedience? And he is fleeing and traversing in his anger, and that caused him to be angry, and he has exposed himself to his curse, and his right has been insignificant to him. How could he have good thoughts about him and the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla is insignificant to him? And his command is nothing to him, and he has neglected all of that. And his prohibition is little in his eyes until the fact that he has perpetrated that. And he has persisted upon that way. He says, كَيْفَ يُحْسِنُ ظَنَّ بِهِ مَنْ بَارَزَهُ بِالْمَحَارَبَةِ. How could someone have good thoughts about Allah and he has went to war with him in opposition? And went to war with him in opposition, and he opposing him. Allah, he commanded this, he refused to do it. Allah prohibited this, he couldn't wait except to perpetrate it and commit it. And he, as if whatever Allah commands and forbids, he goes against that, like he's in war with him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could he ever have good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal? Wa'ada awliya'ahu wa wala a'da'ahu. And then he has taken enmity towards his allies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then has an allegiance with his enemies. وَجَحَدَ سِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ. And disbelieved and denied the attributes of perfection. And the likes like this. Yani, until the end of this affair, he's mentioning now yani, the issues about having bad thoughts about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he doesn't speak, or that he doesn't have mercy, or that he doesn't have have love, or that he doesn't get angry. Any of those people who have denied the attributes, those people who from the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'attila, those who have denied the attributes of Allah, how could they ever truly have good thoughts about Allah? Subhanallah, I remember now, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned about somebody who denied that Allah, he will be seen. That Allah, that the believers, they will see Allah. He denied that. They don't believe. There's a group of those who ascribe to Islam, but they disbelieve. that Allah, he will be seen in the hereafter. He said, then how about we just make dua enough for you that you will not see him in the hereafter? he didn't want that. But he don't even believe in. How about we say right now, that, oh Allah, don't let so-and-so see you. Even in his heart, he cannot accept that. And he claims he disbelieve in that affair. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So those who have any of this misunderstanding in the attributes of Allah, or misunderstanding with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is not correct. Allah Azza wa Jal, he is forgiving and merciful for those who take a path to his mercy. And he is severe in punishment for those who reject that path and turn away. Ibn Qayyim, he says, فَتَأَمَّلْ هَذَا الْمَوْضِعُ وَتَأَمَّلْ شِدَّةِ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَيْهِ He said, ponder and think deeply about this subject here. This part of the book here, and think deeply about the great need for it. He says, وَكَيْفَ يَجْتَمِعُ فِي قَلْبِ الْعَبْدِ تَيَكُونُهُ بِأَنَّهُمْ وَلَاقِنَ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْمَعُ كَلَامَهُ وَيَرَى مَكَانَهُ وَيَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُ وَعَلَانِيَتُهُ وَلَيَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةٌ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ وَأَنَّهُ مَوْقُوفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مَسْئُولٌ وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا عَمِلَ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَسَاقِطِهِ مضيع لأوامره معطل لحقوقه وهو مع هذا محسن الظن به وهل هذا إلا من خدع النفوس وغرور الأماني He says, وهل هذا إلا من خدع النفوس وغرور الأماني He said, think about it. How could it ever be gathered in the heart of a person that he is certain, go back to the class in Kitab al-Tawheed, the weakness and certainty from committing sins. How could it ever be gathered in the heart of a person that he has certainty that he will meet Allah, and that Allah, he hears his statements, and that Allah, he sees where he's at, and that Allah knows his private and public affair, and that nothing from his issue, nothing from him in his life is hidden from Allah whatsoever, and that he's going to stand in front of Allah, and that he's going to be asked and held accountable for his actions, and all the while he is maintaining and steadfast upon everything that earns the anger of Allah. And he is neglecting the commands of Allah. And he has completely shown no concern or care for the rights of Allah. And all the while he has good thoughts about his Lord. Is that possible? He said, is this anything except for the deception of the souls and the deception of the false hopes? And he's been tricked by his soul, and he has been deceived by the false hopes. He mentioned a narration that has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, لو رأيتم, it's about Abu Umama and also Urwa bin Zubayr, both of them that came to Aisha radiallahu anha. So she says to the both of them, لو رأيتما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في مرض له. If you had both seen the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and a sickness that he was in, وكانت عندي ستة دنانير أو سبعة. And I had 6 or 7 dinanir, any currency, 6 or 7 only. He said, if you had only seen the Messenger whenever he was sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had 6 or 7 dinanir with me. فَأَمَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَنْ أُفَرِّقَهَا And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded me to give them in charity, to give them away in charity. And this money was for charity. It was not for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had this money, 6 or 7 dinanir. And he ordered her to distribute that for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his sickness. She said, فَشَغَلَنِي وَجْعُ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam حَتَّى عَافَاهُ اللَّهُ But I became preoccupied with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he was cured, until Allah cured him. And she forgot to distribute that charity. She forgot to distribute that charity. ثُمَّ سَأَلَنِي عَنْهَا And then he asked me about them, and about that wealth that was supposed to be distributed. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma fa'alti? Akunti farraqti sittata dananir? So what did you do? Did you distribute the six dananir? And she said, no. She said, no, la. Wallahi laqad kana shagarani waj'uka. She said, no, verily I got preoccupied with your sickness and taking care of you. I got preoccupied with your sickness and taking care of you. She said at this time, da'a biha, he called for the charity, فَوَضَعَهَا فِي كَفِهِ And he put it in his hand, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the point, مَا ظَنُّ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ لَوْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهَذِهِ عِنْدَهُ What do you think about the Prophet of Allah if he were to meet Allah, and these were with him, and these were with him, and meaning he didn't distribute this charity that he's ordered to distribute. What do you think what happened to the Prophet of Allah if he did not distribute this, and if he had died and met Allah while this was still with him. And he's afraid. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's afraid. He's afraid that he will be held accountable. And he had this small amount of wealth that he is supposed to distribute, and it was not distributed. And it's not even because of his fault, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this is what he says. You need to teach the ummah that they should not belittle the sins, that the sins are something major, and disobedience is something that has a great effect in the life of a believer. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَيَا لَاللَّهُ مَا ظَنُّ أَصْحَابِ الْكِبَائِرِ وَالظَّلَمَ بِاللَّهِ إِذَا لَقُوهُ. And if this is the case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was afraid. What do you think about the Prophet of Allah? If he were to meet Allah azza wa jalla, he still had this charity with him. And he still had this charity with him. And he's afraid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyim, he says, what do the people of major sins and those who are oppressors think about Allah whenever they meet him? Well, if this is the case with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was delayed in distributing 6 dinanir because of a sickness that he was in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was afraid about that. And he was afraid about that, and he made this statement. He said, what do you think about those who have major sins and those who are severe oppressors whenever they meet Allah? وَمَظَالِمُ الْعِبَادِ عِنْدَهُمْ. And the rights of the slaves are with them, and they have taken the rights of others unlawfully. He said, فَإِنْ كَانَ يَنْفَعُهُمْ قَوْلُهُمْ حَسَّنَّا ذُنُونَنَا بِكَ. If it would benefit them, and those who have major sins, and those who are persisted upon major sin without repenting, and those who are oppressing others without repenting, if it would suffice them to say, oh, we have good thoughts about you, O Allah. لَمْ يُعَذَّبْ ظَالِمٌ وَلَا فَاسِقٌ. If this was sufficient right here, then no oppressor and no wicked person or sinner would ever be punished. And this is completely, in reality, denying and invalidating all of the text, or there's a threat. There's a threat of punishment for all of the sins. And in the Quran and the Sunnah, if all one would have to do is say, oh, I have good thoughts about Allah, that he would persist upon sins, and negligently and blatantly, without any care and concern, and then in the end say, oh, I have good thoughts about Allah. And if that's the case, then nobody would be punished, and everybody would say that. And everybody would say that, but this is not the reality, and this is not the case. And Ibn Qayyim said, if that was the case, فَلْيَصْنَعْ الْعَبْدُ مَا شَاءَ. Then let him do whatever he likes then. And if all he has to do in the end is just say, I have good thoughts about Allah, then let him just follow his desires. وَلْيَرْتَكِبْ كُلَّ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Then let him perpetrate everything that Allah has prohibited from him. وَلْيُحْسِنْ ظَنُّهُ بِاللَّهِ. And then in the end say, I have good thoughts about Allah. فَإِنَّ النَّارَ لَا تَمَسُّهُ. يعني فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَا يَبْلُغُ الْغُرُورُ بِالْحَدِّ. He said, and then in the end, he will think that the fire will not touch him. And he will perpetrate all of the prohibitions of Allah, and neglect the commandments of Allah, and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then in the end, say, I have good thoughts about Allah, and the fire is not going to touch him. And he says, man, how? And what is the level that deception will reach a person? And how far can one go in this deception? And so a person, he will have good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this requires for him to have good actions. In reality, he says, "Wa bil jumla, fa husn al dhanni inna ma yakuna ma'a in iqadi asbab al najah, wa amma ma'a in iqadi asbab al halak, fa la yata'atta husn al dhann." He says, so to summarize, having good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla, it only comes whenever a person, he takes the means of success. As for while a person, he is taking the means of destruction, then he's not having good thoughts about Allah. This is not having good thoughts about Allah. And the person, he's taking the path to the mercy of Allah, to the forgiveness of Allah, and the light side, and then he has good thoughts about Allah. This is correct. As for if he's taking the path to other than that, the path to the anger of Allah, and to the threat of Allah, and to the punishment of Allah, then this is not having good. This is not having good thoughts. He mentioned here, likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, what if somebody were say, now, but what about Allah? He has vast mercy. Allah, he has vast mercy. Allah, he is the most forgiving, and he's the most merciful, and he pardons and he forgives sins. And what about all these texts? And in this case, is not Allah the most forgiving and most merciful? Is not Allah the one who loves to pardon? Is not Allah the one who accepts the repentance? And then the people, they might rely upon this. And this is what they will say. He says, al-amru hakadha. Wallahi fawqa dhalika. He said, yes, that's the case. Brother, it's even greater than that. Rather, it's even greater than that. وَأَجَلَّ وَأَكْرَمْ وَأَجْوَدْ وَأَرْحَمْ. Rather, it's greater than that and more noble and more honorable and more vast and more merciful than even what you're mentioning. وَلَكِنْ إِنَّمَا يَضَعُ ذَلِكَ فِي مَحَلِّهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ. But Allah, He only puts that in the place that's proper for that. He only puts that mercy and that honor and that respect and that forgiveness and that pardoning in the place that's proper. He doesn't put that in every situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise. He says, فَإِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مَوْصُوفٌ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Because Allah, He's described with vast wisdom, وَالْعِزَّةِ وَالْإِنْتِقَامِ وَالشِدَّةِ الْبَطْشِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ مَنْ يَسْتِحِقُ الْعُقُوبَةِ. That Allah, He's described with wisdom and with might and with retribution and with severe punishment for those who deserve a punishment. If it was sufficient for a person to rely upon having good thoughts, then this is in reality, and to have good thoughts on his names and attributes only, then there's no difference between the righteous and the wicked. There's no difference between the righteous and the wicked. And there's no difference between a believer and a disbeliever. And there's no difference between somebody who is an ally of Allah and somebody who is an enemy of Allah. And an enemy of Allah, if he was just going to rely upon the fact that Allah is merciful, or rely upon the fact that Allah, He forgives and pardons and then do whatever He likes, then there's no difference between the wicked and the righteous. There's no difference, rather, even between somebody who is an allegiance, an ally to Allah, and beloved to Allah, and someone who is an enemy to Allah, and who Allah hates and does not love. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, there would be no difference. So rather the case is that he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, bal husnu dhanni, and I'm summarizing, husnu dhanni yanfa'u man taba. Having good thoughts, it only benefits the one who repents. وَنَدِمَ وَأَقْلَعَ, and has remorse, and he leaves the sins. وَبَدَّلَ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ, and he followed up the bad deed with a good deed. He exchanged the bad deed for the good deed. Meaning he had sins. Naam. Allah, He accepts the repentance. Yes. But for those who take that path, and those who exchange those bad deeds for good deeds, meaning they repent from those bad deeds and they have remorse and they leave them, and they follow them up with good deeds, with repentance and with righteous actions and devotion to Allah. وَاسْتَقْبَلَ بَقِيَةَ عُمْرِهِ بِالْخَيْرِ وَطَاعَةٍ. And then he went for the rest of his life. And in that the rest of his life, he used it in obedience and in goodness. ثُمَّ حَسَّنَ الظَّنْ فَهَذَا حُسْنُ الظَّنْ. وَالْأَوَّلُ الْغُرُورِ. He says, so this is having good thoughts. This is having good thoughts. And the first one is deception. Wallahu al-musta'an. Wallahu al-musta'an. So the one who sins, and all of mankind sin, but that whenever they sin, they remember Allah, and they remember His favors and His blessings. They remember His greatness and His majesty. And also they remember His mercy, and they take a path to Him. They take a path to Him with a heart that is repentant and remorse. And the likes like this, and they strive to be obedient, and they feel bad. They feel bad and they try to rectify that affair between them and their Lord, in public and in private, then this is the one that Allah is most forgiving, He's most merciful, He's pardoning, He's kind, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the one who blatantly has no concern for the commands of Allah, and he persists upon that way, and then he says he has good thoughts of Allah, this one is deceived. This one is deceived. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, فَقَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ حُسْنِ الظَّنِّ وَالْغُرُورِ. Verily, the difference between having good thoughts and being deceived is clear now. When husna dhanni in hamala ala al-amali wa hatha alayhi wa saqa ilayhi fa huwa sahih. And that having good thoughts, if it carried a person to do good deeds and encouraged him to do good deeds, then this is correct. This is correct. This is good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, wa in da'a ila bitana wa in himaki fil ma'asi fa huwa ghurur. But if it called a person, if it called a person to neglect actions and to be engulfed in sins and disobedience, then this is deception. Then this is deception. This is the difference between having good thoughts about Allah and being deceived. Good thoughts about Allah carries a person to act, carries a person to comply, carries a person to have remorse for his sins, carries a person to repent, carries a person to the masjid to fulfill the obligations, carries a person to take himself into account. As for ghurur, it will carry a person to fall into sin more and more and more, and show no concern or care for the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa husnu dhanni huwa ar-raja. And having good thoughts about Allah, in reality, it is hope. It is hope. It is hope. Sincere hope. Pure hope. Hope for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَنْ كَانَ رَجَاءُهُ حَادِيًا لَهُ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ زَاجِرًا لَهُ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَهُوَ رَجَاءٌ صَحِيحٌ. He says, so whoever his hope is carrying him to be obedient and prohibiting him from disobedience, then this is correct hope. His hope is correct. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ بِطَانَتُهُ رَجَاءً وَرَجَاءُهُ بِطَانَةً وَتَفْرِيطًا فَهُوَ الْغُرُورُ. As for the one who, if he is negligent in actions, and this is his hope, and his hope is that he is negligent and he is falling short, then this is called deception, and this is not having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us good in this life and the hereafter, and to make us from those who have good thoughts about Him with good and righteous actions. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.